WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Sean Diddy Combs expected to speak in court before he's sentenced today for his conviction on prostitution-related charges. He wants to go free. His accusers want him to stay in prison. CBS New York's Allie Bauman.
Star witness Cassie Ventura submitted a letter expressing her worries that Combs or his associates will come after me and my family for testifying at trial.
The Senate will try again today to pass a short-term budget bill to end the three-day-old government shutdown. Majority Leader John Thune.
If we can just find a few more Democrats to join us, we can end this shutdown.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
We are ready. We are willing. We are able to sit down with anyone, anytime, any place.
Just announced the administration will withhold $2.1 billion for Chicago infrastructure projects. He grew up a Red Sox fan, but rookie pitcher Cam Schlittler helped the Yanks knock Boston out of the playoffs.
A dirty dozen for Schlittler is
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A proposed bill to limit the release of Mylar balloons was discussed in a state assembly committee last week. The legislation would prohibit the release of 10 or more Mylar balloons, arguing that they're harmful to the environment and their composition can cause short circuits if they fly into power lines. We Energy's officials say the balloons were responsible for nearly 14,000 customers losing power last year. If passed into law, the bill would impose a $500 fine for releasing Mylar balloons outdoors, with exceptions for scientific purposes. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered legal briefs to be filed in relation to a pair of lawsuits challenging the state's congressional voting maps ahead of the 2026 election. Two law firms filed the challenges in Dane County Circuit Court, where a judge denied a request to set a briefing schedule. They asked the Supreme Court to appoint a three-judge panel to determine whether the congressional maps are unconstitutional, but the court instead ordered the two sides to file legal briefs arguing whether the lawsuit constituted a valid action to challenge the maps. And the discussion around a possible solar farm in the town of Rome continues. The NextEra Energy Company will be at Avocado's Mexican Grill on Saturday. They're offering residents an opportunity to learn more about the Akron Solar Project they're planning in the area. NextEra Energy representatives will be at the Avocados Mexican Grill in Rome from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. on October 4th. There's great fall activities this weekend in the area. Arnold Strawberries is holding their Fall Harvest Fest weekend on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until dark in Rudolph. The Nakusa Giant Pumpkin Fest is at Riverside Park on Saturday from 9 to 5 and on Sunday from 9 to 4. Enjoy family fall fun this weekend. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
Bring on the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs tomorrow, just after 1 p.m., in Game 1 of the best-of-five divisional series in Milwaukee. After being swept by the Yankees in New York at the start of the season, who would have thought the Brewers would set a franchise record of 97 wins on the way to winning their division? Pat Murphy.
No one expected this, to break the franchise record for wins. Would you have said that coming out of New York or after opening day here? It just shows you who's in the room.
The Brewers have had the past week off. Another workout session at the ballpark today. Are they ready now for the playoffs? Freddy Peralta will start for Milwaukee.
We just have to stay focused and keep doing what we've been doing, trusting in each other, just to remind us ourselves that we never have to give up and keep going.
College football, the Badgers take on number 20th-ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor. Kickoff tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
and Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, have you ever played a video game or seen an ad that says, play our game, we'll give you money? Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us to talk about whether or not that's true.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, Kristen, listen to this. Parker's going to introduce me. Here it comes.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from Nashville, in his hotel room, where he keeps on talking to himself.
I know, it's cool.
The founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's not just me. I got friends as well. And a cheering
section. You have
friends
in low places.
I have a friend in low places. Not just because I was at the Garth Brooks bar by the same name last night, but because we've got all these boxes up on screen on social media, and Kristen's literally in the low place right now. But she is a friend just the same. Happy to have her here. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning and happy Friday, baby. It is going to be such a beautiful weekend in Wisconsin. I think you got the short end of the stick being in Nashville this weekend.
It's as hot here as the Nashville chicken that they like to talk about. But
woo-wee!
You know, we'll somehow survive. They're talking about it down here too, how hot and dry it's been. But you know, we'll take one more summer weekend before the actual autumnal stuff gets here.
Yes,
but there's a lot of big doings this weekend. We've got the Brewers. We now know that they're going to be playing the Cubs in the National League Division Series. We know that game one is going to be held on Saturday. We know it's a Saturday afternoon game, and that you can hear the pregame starting at 12:35 tomorrow afternoon on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. And we know that game two at American Family Field will be a late game on Monday. First pitch won't be until after 8 p.m.
Oh.
So, set your Tuesday morning alarm accordingly, either a little later or a second and third alarm if need be. But that's just one of the big notes about this weekend. The other, of course, is that the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show has done blowed up and is going statewide, baby.
Woo! I'm so excited! Noon on Saturday, baby, all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look at that. Noon on Saturday, all across the network.
That's prime time. Wow.
I know. Jeez,
yeah.
That's bigger than this humble little show. This is so cool. So just remember us little people, Kristen, as you continue climbing the ladder here, okay?
Oh, this is going to be a good conversation, too. Dr. Laura Hanks, who was a frequent contributor on Jane's show, is joining me, and she's my colleague, Laura Hanks, at your cervix. It is Gyno Talk. We talk about the pause in abortion care in Wisconsin and contraception and all the stuff that you would expect two gynecologists to talk about. It is fun. It is fun.
Good. Well, yeah. It's fun, but you have to tackle some of that serious news, the ongoing threats to women's health, mm-hmm. like this, as you put it, this backdoor abortion ban that you see in Trump's big bloated boondoggle and the cutting of Medicaid to Planned Parenthood for, you know, non-abortion services, which is why Planned Parenthood is curtailing abortion care in Wisconsin, at least while this whole law is being challenged, which puts up a whole new set of challenges for women and for their physicians.
It makes it really hard. Importantly, Planned Parenthood continues to offer all of the other services that they offer. So if you go there for your pap test or STI screening or any of that stuff, they're still doing it. And there still is abortion care being offered in Milwaukee. Two independent clinics are offering care. But this is really, really devastating for the rest of the state. So One of my dear friends, Dr. Shefali Sharma, wrote an op-ed in the Wisconsin State Journal today, and it is so overdue. She asks the question, why are hospitals and doctors across the state not just providing this service as a routine service? Why is this not considered healthcare in our regular practice? And you know, when you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it, Pat?
No, I've never understood that we've stigmatized abortion care to the point where it has to be done in, you know, special clinics rather than just wherever it needs to be done. And it seems to me if you're providing health care, then provide health care, not just the health care that may or may not get you in trouble with some political factions.
Exactly. When you have a problem, you go to your doctor. Your doctor mm-hmm. listens to you. You talk about all the alternatives. You come up with a solution. You initiate a treatment plan. And then you follow through. You do the aftercare. You have that relationship. You have that trust. You do that with anything. But for some reason, abortion care isn't part of that. We need to bring it back into the realm of regular care that we provide our patients. So it's a wonderful op-ed, and it's what we're really going to be talking about a lot across the state in the months to come.
No doubt about that. But there's something else that's being talked about when it comes to reproductive rights and politics. And it is some comments that were made by Ezra Klein, podcaster, columnist, political analyst, you know, widely respected in progressive circles, but really lost a little bit of that respect recently with comments first in writing and then written comments saying essentially that the Democratic Party, if it's going to, you know, win more elections, needs to be more welcoming to candidates who are Democratic and progressive, but favor limits on women's reproductive health care rights, which seems like a nasty bargain to win elections is to forego the rights of half the population, Kristen.
I see where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. I respect and appreciate his work. But when it comes to really fundamental rights for people, I don't know that there's room to bargain. And I know that he's saying, you know, when you put your flag in the sand and you say, this is the thing that we are not going to compromise on, then it makes it really hard to negotiate. We're seeing that right now with the government shutdown. I mean, the Republicans are saying, we're just not going to negotiate. And that is their negotiation standpoint. It makes it really challenging. But there are a lot of other things that you could be talking about in the general realm of what conservatives and liberals do. I think Ezra Klein's point is really poorly taken by people in the reproductive rights movement who recognize that this is a fundamental right. This is existential. Literally, this is about the future of women and the trajectory of our lives and our ability to make our own personal healthcare decisions. So anytime that a man makes a comment like this, when he can never be affected in a way like this, I think there are a lot of us that say, all right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate right. your opinion.
Right. And by the way, it also illustrates the paradox of being a progressive is that, you know, when you're a progressive, you stand for people's rights, all people's rights, more so than those who would prefer to limit certain people's rights. So what happens is those folks on the conservative side of things will attack somebody's rights. It might be abortion rights. It might be LGBTQ rights. Let's just take trans rights for a moment. And so when the people who are for protecting rights then defend those people against the bullying, against legislation and all that, what do you then hear? Oh, Democrats, all they ever talk about are trans people. This is just they don't stand for me. They just stand for, you know, this particular group. No, that's not true. But we're defending that particular group in this instance the way that we would defend you if you were the one whose rights were being limited. But too many people want to see defending rights of a group as meaning we're only involved with the special interest of that group rather than everybody's rights who should be defended.
Yeah, it really highlights the hypocrisy of the Republican Party, who are all about individualism and my rights and taking away government control, except for the things that they care about. You know, like it doesn't, if you look at it holistically, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I don't think that this is the place where Democrats need to capitulate. I think that progressives need to continue to push to support each other in a very, you know, collaborative, nurturing community mm-hmm. a elevating kind of way. And, you know, it gets tricky because it's hard. But I think the more that we stand up and make our voices heard and tell our stories and help people understand what this really means for us, the more progress we make.
In our last hour, Joan Esposito was talking to us about how the chatter, and that's all you can really say about it, when it comes to the government shutdown, is that there, and we've always known there are Republican members of Congress who do believe that the enhanced tax credits that help the Affordable Care Act stay affordable should not be allowed to expire at the end of this year, as they are currently scheduled to do. Donald Trump and congressional Republicans, they want them to expire. That's going to jack up healthcare costs for millions of people. The way that this shutdown most likely ends is that Trump or the Republicans agree to a 1 or 2 year extension of keeping health insurance more affordable. Do you share that level of optimism, if we can put that in quotation marks, about how a government shutdown will eventually end?
It's going to be hard, because you know that Donald Trump does not want to negotiate. This is the thing that he really prides himself on. But we're starting to see the letters come out. By the end of this month, people are going to have their renewal letters with their projected premium increases. And people are actually starting to see what their healthcare is going to cost. And they don't like it. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. This is something that Republicans did not plan for when they put this budget together. They thought that the pain was going to be after the midterms, but it's starting to happen now. Americans are starting to wake up and understand what's going on, and they don't like it.
Yeah, look, I'll take issue with one thing where you say he likes to negotiate. He likes to talk about negotiating. He's never actually negotiated anything in his first or second term as president to this point. And the reason you have that TACO acronym, Trump always chickens out, is because he does. First, he inflicts all this pain, and then he accepts something and claims victory over it. It's how the last government shutdown that he instigated in 2019 ended, when he said, "We're shutting down the government till I get more money for a border wall." And he didn't. Eventually, somebody moved a little pile of money from one basket to the other, and he claimed victory, even though it didn't really get him exactly what he wanted. And that, I think that's probably what's going to happen here too, Kristen, is he gets points for, you know, stomping his feet and throwing a tantrum, but ultimately he's not going to get near the things that he wants, because what the people want trumps that, pun intended, having healthcare you can afford.
You're exactly right. Okay, I misspoke. He's not great at negotiating. He's good at making you think he negotiated.
There you go.
He's great at marketing and selling you something. So I anticipate that something like that will happen. There will be some sort of a movement, and he will sell it as a huge victory for himself, and people will believe it because he's great at selling things.
Oh, yeah. And in the meantime, he will get to fire or furlough thousands upon thousands of good, hardworking Americans who are just trying to serve the public here. So we'll monitor throughout the weekend here. And hopefully, Kristen, when you're back here on Monday morning, we'll have some better news to share out of Washington, D.C. So now we know it's Brewers versus Cubs. And so that game will be on Saturday. The Packers have a bye week. So what does a girl do in Green Bay when the Packers have a bye week?
I think it's going to be yard work.
Yeah. Again with the yard work. Have you ever thought of apartment or condo life? You have so much yard work that you're doing all the time.
I love it.
Queen of mulch over here. So
I went and bought some Weed Be Gone yesterday. I usually don't like chemicals, but it's getting a little out of hand. So mm-hmm. I like literally walked across my entire yard yesterday. I'm like 5 weeks after a knee replacement, but I just can't help
it
because it's so satisfying to like do it myself and take pride in how pretty. I think I'm turning into my dad.
Parker, we have to get a game board. We have to let the listeners chime in. I hate to say this, but I think we have to make the game official. Okay. At what point does Kristen send us a note from the hospital? Yeah, we have to go back and do the surgery again. Apparently, I overdid it, and they have to work on the knee again. Mm-mm. Kristen, don't make us play this game.
What's You've the over be- under on weeks to that point?
That's what we're saying is yeah. What, so Kristen, don't let us pick the under on this.
I had my post-op visit yesterday, and then I went to Menards and got the week stuff.
They said I was doing okay, so now I'm going to go bike a marathon. Yeah, something like that. The Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show can now be heard statewide across the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you say Saturdays at noon?
Saturdays at noon, and on Sunday mornings on our YouTube channel, Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Dr. Kristen Lierley on YouTube. There you go. Mike Clemens will be along before too long to talk to us about sports and the Brewers Cubs series. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed. Which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Paid for by term provider. Premiums will vary. Plans depend on age, location, and other factors. Visit BigBlue.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085 or BigLou.com.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
It is time for our Pet of the Week with our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. We have Denise with us. And Denise, I didn't thought about that. That sound might not be the best for certain animals. How you doing, Denise?
I'm really good. Thanks. How are you guys?
Doing good over here. Good. Thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate the time and always appreciate our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society being able to spend time with us. Denise, I had a real quick good story for you.
Good.
Members of the Chicago Police Department's Marine Unit came to the rescue of a dog seen stranded in the Chicago River drain pipe. How this dog got in there, I have no idea. But the department said a witness about aboard a boat in the river Saturday spotted a pit bull terrier in a drain pipe near the Harrison Street Bridge. And again, I know that area, and I don't know how they saw this animal or how that animal got in there. But the Marine unit, which was patrolling the river at the time, reported to the location. And a shout out to Brandon Hillard and his team being able to rescue this dog.
Fantastic.
What a cool story.
That is a very cool story. Like you said, I don't know how they would see a dog in that area.
We've got so many of those kind of stories that we get across, we come across from time to time. Like to highlight them when we can. Certainly like to highlight things over at the Humane Society. Denise, let's get right to it. Who is our Pet of the Week this week?
This is Tiny Tina. She's a very small female gray tabby. She's the last of a litter of six. All her brothers and sisters have already gone out the door, but she's kind of timid, so she gets overlooked.
Sometimes can be, certainly, you know, some families may I don't know if they take it the wrong way, but they might not see the animal for all it is.
Right, exactly. She's usually sitting at the back of her kennel, kind of timid and hiding where the rest of them are climbing on the gates and ready to go.
She is one of these sweeter cats cats I have met, kittens I have met, and incredibly just a sweet, soft coat. Very traditional kind of grayish black coat.
Yeah, very typical gray tabby, but she's just tiny. She's little
small,
petite gal.
Yes.
Short hair does not seem to be shedding as much or anything, so that's an advantage for a lot of people out there, certainly.
Yes, it is. People with allergies or that don't like a lot of cat hair on their clothes and furniture.
And
she's a good one.
Yeah. She is spayed and has her shots.
Correct. And yep. Microchipped. Everything ready to go.
Aww. She is just waiting for the right home. And we have to help her out, get her to a good home, because we don't want her brothers and sisters to have bragging rights over her and all that.
It's not fair.
And they will. They'll definitely. They talk. Yeah, they definitely don't want that. When it comes to other things about her, any other details as far as, because I do see, she has those claws, but the kitten claws, of course.
Correct. Yep. Very sharp little claws, very sharp little teeth. But she's not a big, she will play if you give her time. But other than that, she just likes to be snuggled. She's one of those lap cats, if you're looking for that type of animal.
Yeah, it's a great point. All cats are very curious, and she's definitely curious, but very content with just being right in this one spot, which would be a really good fit for a lot of families out there, I would think.
It would, yeah. I'm not struggling to hold on to her today, which I sometimes am.
Sure. When it comes to that latter part we're mentioning there, it's so key to this conversation and two families out there. When it comes to finding the right animal for the right family, that's what they do at the Humane Society. That's one of the main goals over there.
Correct. It is. Every single animal, we want to make sure that the family knows everything about that animal and that they're a good match, because sometimes they're just not. Mm-hmm. And you're looking for a specific breed or personality. They all have their own personalities, just like us.
Yeah.
We had a family at the shelter I was working at in Santa Barbara, and they had, being blunt, they had money. Mm-hmm. And they came in and they wanted to adopt a dog. They wanted I think a husky or something like that, and came in, and they had heard we had had one, and they had got adopted the day before. Mm-hmm. So they came in and they were looking, and they were bound and determined. Their son was bound and determined. I'm getting a dog. They left with a rabbit.
See?
They couldn't have been happier. Could not have been happier about it. You just don't know.
That's right. You don't.
The Humane Societies are, I wouldn't say designed, or this is something that you to put on you guys or anything, but you, so many of our Humane Societies are really in tune with the animal and the right family.
Absolutely. And often, well, probably more often than not, the animal will pick their owner. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking around, you lock eyes with one, or one is playing with you, and they just kind of melt, and they're like, yep, I knew this was my pet.
See, that's the way. That's the best way to put that.
Absolutely.
You're so right about that. When it comes to as far as things that we can pick up and we can help out with over there at the shop, anything in particular that you guys are looking for?
Kitten food, wet food. We just got another litter of 6 kittens from foster yesterday, so we need litter and wet food if possible.
Mm-hmm. Be on the lookout for that. Everybody help if you can with those items. Mm-hmm. And any events, any things like that that we wanted to touch on?
No, we are.
I don't think so.
Running on all cylinders right now. Our construction's done. It's wonderful to get back to normal a little bit for the animals and staff.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah, with the construction all done now. And again, a big shout out to Alban Construction and all the workers and everybody that has helped over there and made it. I cannot wait to see what things look like. I imagine those floors are going to be great.
They're awesome. And we are planning several open house events.
Awesome.
Stay tuned for more on those.
Excellent. Yeah. Let us know. We want to be a part of that. Want to help any way we can. Certainly we'll promote it any way we can.
Thank you.
Is the dog back? Is the big guy back?
He's there.
Okay.
He's not up on anything.
He's not up yet.
We're going to have some painting done. Then the dog will go up. People ask about him. He's visible. He's out front, but not up on anything yet. So
it helps. It helps that he's visible. You know,
absolutely.
That's comforting. That's
makes
good
people
enough.
Feel good that he's there.
It's such a cool dog. It's like, I don't know where that thing came from, but it's awesome.
He needs a paint job, but he's awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Denise, one more time, want to remind everybody about Tiny Tina.
Yes.
She is a 2-month domestic short hair kitten, brown color coat, although a mixed coat. What do you call that coat exactly? Because it's not brindle. It's not. But it's got that mix.
It is like a tiger stripe. Tabby,
something
or other.
She's totally actually, giving me Daniel Tiger vibes every time she looks over here. Yep. I'm like, she looks like Daniel Tiger. Now I just
she
want to
does.
Go and watch Mr. Rogers.
I didn't catch that right away. Nice catch. Yeah, she does.
Very good. Yeah.
She is just waiting for you, just waiting for that forever home. And your new best friend is right here, right in front of us, Tiny Tina. Find out more about her and all the great things going on at our Humane Society. Head on over to SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com, and be sure to find out more. Of course, keep in mind, you can email them office at WFHS.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505. Go ahead and stop on by at 3621 64th Street North, especially with any of those items they need. If you're able to drop one off, it's greatly appreciated. And, of course, find them on social media. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who
might
see it.
Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI Studios. For more information or for the rest of our content, you can visit WFHR.com, WIRI.FM, or the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An unscheduled assembly at the Nakusa High School this week surprised not only students, but also one teacher in particular.
Mr. Peters is a grand prize winner of the 2025 Harbor Freight Tools for Schools Prize for Teaching Excellence.
Tech ed teacher Benjamin Peters was notified earlier this year that he was one of 50 finalists from the 1,001 nominees from 49 different states.
I knew I was a finalist, but I didn't know that I had won a grand prize.
High school principal Keith Johnson said this is great recognition for the hard work the tech ed department has been doing to promote their computer-aided design fabrication laboratory launched at the Alexander Middle School beginning last year.
It's exciting for Ben and Marcus as a department, as a tech ed department. Exciting for the high school and exciting for the school district.
Peters said having a classroom with a 3D printer at every workstation is a really great model for teaching CAD effectively.
It makes sense for every student to have their own computer, right? And so it's the same for manufacturing. Every individual would benefit from access to their own digital fabrication tool.
Johnson said more employers are looking for CAD and drafting experience in fields you wouldn't expect.
And I think that's just going to continue to grow. And I think that we're in the fortunate spot that we're out front on this. And so we have an opportunity to help other schools.
Peters said that while this prize will help keep the CAD Fab Lab stable for years to come, the failed referendum of last year is pushing the Nakusa District to a possible referendum in 2026.
I think the referendum is necessary for us to keep operating at the level that we do.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? There is a nice variety of films headed to your local screen. What would Halloween season be without a ghost in the theaters? The ghost is Casper and compliments of a re-release from 1995 to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the mediocre film, which drew barely 50% fresh reviews according to Rotten Tomatoes. Dwayne Johnson stars as UFC fighter Mark Kerr in The Smashing Machine, a historical drama that's pulling a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. Bone Lake is a horror thriller that finds two couples spending a weekend sharing a lakeside home. The film is crushing with critics and currently pulling a 94% on the tomato meter. Good Boy follows canine hero Indy in this rated PG thriller that is also a critic's darling at 91%. It's hard to go wrong with a canine hero. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Hi friends, it's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods. We'll be having our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale going on Friday, October 3rd, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 910 West Grand Ave in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll have samples and product experts answering your questions. Don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with purchase. Join us Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th for our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale.
Working with nature since 1946.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome John Sabo from First Tee Wisconsin. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr drops by with fun music and great chat.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Oh, look what Parker found in the music library.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like the right day for it.
Exactly. It's a great day for it. Hopefully, it's going to be a great week for it.
Yes, we probably could play it all throughout next week, or at least half of next week, because hopefully it's a three-game sweep against the Cubs.
That's a good point.
You never know for sure. Let's bring in Mike Clemens to talk more about the series, the National League Division Series. It'll be the Brewers versus the Cubbies starting tomorrow afternoon, since the Cubs emerged from that wild card round with the San Diego Padres. Mike Clemens, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, that Cubs game last night, that's the first time the Cubs have ever had a go-home series like that. You know, they clinched a playoff series in the history of Wrigley Field. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
They went to a World Series in 45, and, you know, they won a World Series. But, you know, this was, you know, to win that final game and send the Padres home at the end of the season in this wild card series. First time that happened. And now, how many of those Cubs fans are going to be able to snag tickets and watch the Brewers and the Cubs go at it? The game first pitch is tomorrow at 1:08. It's going to be on television. Of course, we'll have it on the radio, but it's going to be on television on TBS or HBO Max. And I was joking with a guy at one of the workouts I covered the other day with the Brewers, because they've been working out at AmFam Field. I said, do you know why it's at 1:08? Because they figure it's going to take you 8 minutes to find the game on your cable.
Yes, I could totally see that being on TBS. You can catch the pregame on Civic Media starting at 12:35 tomorrow afternoon. And I was disappointed, but I totally understand that Brian Anderson, who calls games for TBS as well as for the Brewers, has been assigned to the Phillies Dodgers series. I suppose they can't have a home announcer doing the network broadcasts. But I also noted this week that that BA is one of the finalists for the Ford Frick Award for the Baseball Hall of Fame for broadcasters. Yeah. That's a pretty cool honor.
Oh, and he's grown so much since he got that Brewers job, right? I mean, he's calling the French Open this summer.
Yeah,
you know, so we're very lucky to have him. And I just think it's cool that he still figures, though, that, you know, his home base is at, like Euchre. Like, he still loves calling Brewer games, but he'll branch off and do basketball and whatever sport that these networks bring him into. So tomorrow it'll be Freddy Peralta on the mound. I don't think Brandon Woodruff's coming back. Murph is keeping that kind of a secret. So the number two pitcher on Monday night for game two will probably be Quinn Priester, who had such a good summer. And then after that, I don't know. The team that, had that winning streak in August, they've been hurt, in the bullpen. And just watching these games, all these games, Red Sox and Yankees and the other ones in the series, this is the time you need, the best pitching you've got. And I know that the Brewers had to spend a whole year sort of making things up as they go. Colin Ray, will he be able to come back, your closer? Because you want that veteran, guy with ice water veins in these clutch situations in the playoffs. But it'll be Freddie, probably against the Cubs reporters. Craig Counsell post game last night didn't say, but they think it's either going to be Javier Assad, who's got a 3.6 ERA, or former Brewer Colin Ray could be their starter tomorrow for game one in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and by the way, game two on Monday, that's going to be a late game, late start, first pitch at 8:08 in the evening from American Family Field for game two of that National League Division Series. And I know what you mean about the injuries, because, again, one of the things that was so surprising about the Brewers, when they had a rather slow start, we expected a slow start because the pitching core had been so banged up. and yet somehow cobbled together win after win after win, surprise after surprise from some of the other pitchers that were in there. But now it kind of feels like the pendulum has started to swing the other way. But I did notice yesterday in the Red Sox-Yankees game, the Boston pitcher, it was only his fifth major league start ever. Mm-hmm. And for the Yankees, I believe it was like his 15th major league start ever. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we're just at that time of year where, yeah, you want the veteran pitcher, but you're going to have to rely on some of these younger pitchers to step up.
And this is where the managers earn their paycheck, right? I mean, for Murph to understand that the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, kind of flamed out there in terms of giving up hits, guys sort of figured out some of his pitches, even though they're coming in at 101 miles an hour. And so now he's probably been demoted to a middle relief guy when they get into the situation. Murph did say the other day that their veteran, Jose Quintana, is looking good. And so at least he's planted that seed into his mind, that in counsel's mind, that they'll be looking at this. But, I mean, when I get done with you this morning and we pack up, we go down, and we'll have a media session today. We'll talk to Murph and Yelich and the rest of the players. Then they'll have a two-hour workout at the ballpark today. They've had this bye week. They'll be working out today from 3 to 5, taking BP, running the bases, working on some fundamentals to get warmed back up and back into some sort of a rhythm for tomorrow afternoon's game against the Chicago Cubs. It's going to be a great series. Also good for me because I got a Packer bye week, so I can cover baseball in Milwaukee this weekend. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
No, that is a great thing. And then, there's so many other sports activities going on, and not the least of which would be the Milwaukee Bucks, their season coming up before too much longer. And there was an open house media day this week. How did that go?
Well, we walk in there, and it's like, because this would be the first chance to talk to Giannis since the playoffs. And where's Giannis? He's not here. What?
Oh, no.
he went to Greece this summer, right, to play for his nation, for his country. In the European League, he tested positive for COVID the other day. So he's in quarantine. So now the Bucks had their initial practices with their new team. And John Horst talked about, do you realize, Pat, a year ago at this time, you're talking about a team with Giannis and Brooke Lopez. You're waiting for Chris Middleton to come back from double ankle surgery. And Damian Lillard. Those guys are all gone. So, it's a new look to this team. Miles Turner brought in from the Pacers. Younger guys, instead of being, 35, the average age is maybe 26 or so. And that's the kind of team that they've gradually built over the past year. And that Doc Rivers, admitted now, when I first got to Milwaukee, I told John, you guys are too old and too slow. We got to make changes here. They think they're going to do a contract with A.J. Green. They're working on him. But they've got 21 players in camp. They got to get that down to 15. They'll pick three alternates on the 2A. And this weekend, they will have some practices in Miami. They've got their first preseason game against the Miami Heat. And Giannis will join them in Miami. Supposed to be flying in from Greece this weekend.
Okay, well, good. Hopefully he's recovered. Although, again, the NBA season lasts as long as it does. So I guess if you're going to get COVID, this is the
time. Now would be the time.
Better earlier than later. Yeah, sure. This is when you got to do it. And especially with him having to work with a much less experienced team heading into the season. Well, we mentioned that the Packers have a bye week, and thank goodness, because, boy, if there's anything we need, Mike, it's even more time to dwell on a 40-40 tie against the Cowboys. I, of course, because of the early hours that I have, did not have to be exposed to that. I had to wake up to the news. Mm-hmm. The night owls like you had to catch every painful moment of it. And does the team, what's the ability to shake it off versus having that thing really bother them?
First of all, Dallas was overdue. The Packers have won every game they've played in that stadium. They were 6-0 going, including a Super Bowl. So Dallas was overdue to get a win down there. The Packers, they went into that game losing two starters on their offensive line. And then they get into it, and it's noisy, and they've got some false start penalties. And then just before the half, you get Matt LaFleur being aggressive because it's still kind of a close game. And instead, they call for a passing play where he should have just run the ball and protected the football. Jordan Love gets strip sacked. Dallas scores two or three times just before the half to take to take a, like a 16-13 lead, and it goes back and forth. Now you get down to the final drive, and the Cowboys are up 40-37. And on a fourth and sixth, Jordan Love converts that to his rookie receiver, Matthew Golden, from his own 24-yard line. I'm thinking, oh, now this is it. This could be a great finish for the Packers to pull this one out, because they're usually so good at the two-minute drill, except they get down into the red zone, and on a play that goes incomplete trying to hit Matthew Golden, the guys are kind of just standing around. I mean, they let the last 30 seconds slip by, and LaFleur takes responsibility at the end, but I think he's covering for his quarterback, where they did not. I had two players, Pat, including Josh Jacobs, one on record that I sent you tape of, who said, I don't think all our guys knew we were supposed to be in two-minute offense. It's like right after the play, you have to run back and spot, you know, and listen for the cadence or this hand signal as to what the next play is. So fortunately, they got it down to 1 second before they were able to call a timeout and kick the tying field goal. But, yeah, there's going to be – they've done a lot of self-scouting this week as to how they need to clean up their operations when it gets to be the two-minute drill like that.
Well, I mean, especially it – look, I'm not one to be overcritical, but I can read a clock and know that, you know, there's never a good time within that last minute to be dogging it to getting back into the huddle or getting back on the line. And, you know, the degree to which, you know, they were confused about this, it's easy to blame LaFleur or Jordan Love, but it feels like a team-wide thing where they lacked some kind of a sense of urgency that I have a feeling it was really drilled into them during this week.
There was a preseason game. I think it was the Colts game, where it was just like before half or so, and LaFleur was just going nuts because he called a timeout, and I thought, oh, you know what? It's one of these guys not paying attention. They were supposed to be in there for a substitution. And I said, hey, what happened with that incident on that third and such and such? Because I wrote it down specifically. He knew what I was talking about. He says, time. I was trying to save us from getting a delay a game. So he was mad at the quarterback on that one. Like, dude, you know, you had 3 seconds left. We're going to get a delay a game here. And I've got to save you by calling a timeout. And I think a little bit of that happened the other night as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, I was stunned by this because the Packers are generally, through the Aaron Rodgers era and now even under Jordan Love, one of the best two-minute teams in the league. I mean, it's almost like the McCarthy-Rodgers era passed that on to LaFleur because they've been very good. You watch some of these good teams that don't seem to know what the heck they're doing when it comes to the last 2 minutes of a game. And LaFleur drills this almost every other day. So it's something that, you know, that they have to work on, no doubt. Because, you know, remember, Aaron Rodgers eventually took control from McCarthy and said, I will run the offense with the last 2 minutes because there isn't time for you to get a play called in. Let me do it.
Right.
And they need to they need to hand the keys over to Jordan Love in the same way. Let me call the plays. Let me, you know, be the general out there and decide if we're in the two-minute offense and what plays are running next.
That's an excellent point. Got under a minute just to touch on the Badgers. Again, they really start running the gauntlet here, starting with tomorrow's game in Ann Arbor against Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's ranked 20th. Badgers, they've got problems on the offensive line. I think Luke Fickell's still got a couple of guys that are going to be game-time decisions, and this is going to be brutal. I mean, that loss to Maryland was a real gut punch to them. You got, you know, Chris McIntosh, the athletic director, talking at a volleyball game to Mike McCarthy the day after that game. I mean, there's all kinds of red flags going on, so we'll see. The other thing is there was a stat from Wisconsin State Journal. The Badgers have given up more sacks in 4 weeks than they did all last year.
Oh, see, it's going to be a brutal stretch here, but Mike Clemens is going to follow it for us along with everything else. Mike, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you later.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
All right, we'll have some final news and notes coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Whitelow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come see what's
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, you don't need me to tell you, but I will anyway. Brewers-Cubs starting tomorrow, National League Division Series Game 1. Pre-game begins at 12:35 on some of these stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And support Parker has to, he's going to be going to see Whitewater play football because the WIAC conference opener games are happening this weekend. Then you got this going on. You have the Badger game going on. There's going to be so much for you to monitor at any single time here.
There is. It's going to be a very long Saturday. Sunday will be significantly lighter, which I'm very happy about. But like, can't we spread it out a little? Jeez,
would be nice, but no, you get it all bunched up. Lucky you. Coming up on Matt and Air on Air, right after this fine program at 9:35, Jane and Greg are going to have Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin talking about apps that claim to pay you to play games on your phone. I see these all the time. Do you play any games on your phone right now?
Very
like
few,
a words with friends or something like that. I mean, with other people,
not with other people on my phone. No.
Okay.
But I do some stuff.
Yeah. I've met, you know, Sherry and I, we have a Boggle type game.
Oh, sure.
And we always have three games going at once of that. And then we have a couple of rounds of Words with Friends, which is like Scrabble. And of course you see commercials, you know, in the game after your round and before they show you your score.
Yeah.
And so many of them are, what's it called? Royal Match, you know, this little king who's trapped in something and you've got to rescue him. But then occasionally you see these commercials where it's like, I got paid for playing solitaire.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just thinking, who presses that button and says, oh, yeah, that's totally what people do. They totally they don't get played at all. They don't have to give a credit card number and then the charges never stop coming in. But apparently it does. And so Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau is going to talk about apps that claim to pay you. It's almost like there's a phrase, if it sounds too good to be true. What did you say?
Yeah, that sounds a little good, too good to be true. I'm very interested. I might have to give a listen to that. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be joining Jane and Greg at about 10:06. So stay tuned for all of that for Matt and Air on Air. One story we hadn't gotten to yet today, and I don't even know how to get into this. Former Governor Tommy Thompson is considering running for governor. Now, keep in mind that folks were thinking that Joe Biden was getting too old to be president. He's 82. It's clear that Donald Trump is getting too old and cognitively impaired to be president, and he is 79. Tommy Thompson is 83, and the headline in the Journal Sentinel says that he is seriously considering making a run for governor next year. Molly Beck has the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tommy was governor from 1987 to 2001 and said in the newspaper article and said in an interview on WTMJ, I am still looking at it and I'm seriously looking at it. So that's what goes into it, but no decision has been made, but it's certainly something that isn't too far removed from my brain. Thompson did not return a call from the Journal Sentinel. Earlier this year, Thompson downplayed the idea to the Journal Sentinel, but said that he's in great shape. If elected, Thompson would be 85 when he would take office in January of 2027. And by the way, yeah, it does feel weird for me to say if elected, Thompson would be 85, because nobody says Thompson. It's Tommy. You know, imagine being so well known that as a politician that you only know by the first name. And that's Tommy. I remember meeting him when he was running for governor the first time, which was 1986. And at that point, he had been the Republican leader in the state assembly for a number of years. And back then, he had the nickname Dr. No, because he would just, you know, refuse to compromise with Democrats when it came to working on legislation. He was seen as a real obstruction at times. But then he ran for governor. He unseated Democrat Tony Earle. And at that point began the first of four times being elected to office and shedding some of that Dr. No reputation. Now, he's still a Republican through and through, but also worked on various things that did end up having, you know, bipartisan support. For example, the bill that led to what we now call American Family Field for the Brewers. And I think most notably of expanding Highway 29 to four lanes. I've said previously, there ought to be a statue of Tommy Thompson somewhere along Highway 29. To celebrate, you know, the ability to not call that stretch of highway Bloody 29 anymore. But that was then. And I appreciate that Tommy is still interested and still thinks that he could put forward a good race. And you know what? If he gets in, well, good luck to him. God bless. But it was not the headline that I was expecting to see today, that Tommy Thompson is looking at running for governor once again. Well, Parker, I think we got to wrap things up here from Nashville, which also means my daily complaint about the lack of a coffee maker in this hotel room.
Yeah.
But I did find time before the show today to go get coffee down in the lobby.
I was going to say you had a lot more pep today than yesterday.
Do not recommend.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I got the coffee in there, but yeah, it's thankfully Sherry was able to bring me something from a nearby coffee shop.
What I hear.
But only after fighting the crowds. There was a big Taylor Swift event here in Nashville celebrating the Life of a Showgirl album dropping. So yeah, before 6 o'clock this morning, there was this big crowd celebrating the album. That is,
Pat,
that's iconic, you know?
I think that crowd was there before midnight. I think that was residual.
Oh, yes.
I don't think they got there at like 5:30. I think they've been there since like 10.
You think they've been there partying all night listening to Taylor and singing to the albums? You know what? You're right. That makes total sense, and I'm willing to bet you that most of them are well asleep by now, but that a couple of them are now listening to the album for the fifth time.
And still crying their eyes out.
And still, or bebopping. There's some, as Travis Kelce likes to say, there's some real bangers on that album. So that was our big overnight news from here in Nashville. Parker, have a good weekend. Take care of yourself with all those sports tomorrow. Don't overdo it.
Oh, I'll try. Happy travels. Have a good time. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. And I'll see you from Dallas as the travels continue. Have a great weekend. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Sean Diddy Combs will speak. His lawyers plan to show taped footage of the rap mogul before he's sentenced for a conviction on prostitution-related charges today. CBS's Jerika Duncan is at court in New York.
Overnight, Combs' legal team released this nearly 12-minute video to be shown at his sentencing hearing.
We wanted to raise some money for the children of New York City.
Characterizing him as a philanthropist, family man, and mentor.
Day three of the government shutdown, and the Senate will vote on a short-term spending bill today. Furloughed FDA employee Bill Lee.
Each day something could happen in terms of a foodborne illness or a food safety outbreak or an allergen contaminant. Part of FDA's job is to disseminate information out quickly to the public.
A sad twist in a deadly attack outside a Jewish temple in England. CBS's Vicky Barker.
One of the two people killed and one of the three wounded in yesterday's synagogue attack were shot by police.